Hey, thank you for joining us today. In just a moment, I'm going to share a message from God's Word. And I've prayed over the message, and I've asked the Lord to allow it to be biblical and relevant and, of course, practical. We want to be able to be a help to our members today, those that are listening to the message. So go ahead and grab your Bible and join me. We're getting ready to get started. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. That's a beautiful song, wasn't it, folks? That is a great truth, too. I like that. Hey, beautiful young ladies, aren't they? Thank the Lord for them. Well, it's good to see everybody. Thank you for praying for Donna and I. We had a great R&R, a little rest, and I like to say relaxation, but it wasn't a whole lot of relaxation, but it was a fun time. It's good to be away. And we went to Alaska for a couple of days. You know that's not true. No. But thank you for your prayers and your faithfulness. Isn't it good to have a faithful church staff? And I know those guys and all our folk work together. And it gives me confidence to be away, knowing that the church is in good hands. Of course, it's God's church, but, you know, He places it in the hands of some faithful people. And I thank God for them. And I listened to all the messages. They did a great job. And so thank the Lord for that. And then last week with the National Hoops, I understand we have 12 people got saved. It was a great event, well attended. And everybody was just bragging about the cooperation of our church people and the volunteerism, right, Isaac? And everything just came together so well. And so thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's all good, right? And we're glad you're here today. 1 Samuel chapter 22. Brother Will read for us just a moment ago. I want to highlight this passage this morning and talk about it just for a few minutes and then get you to turn to Psalm 133 in just a moment. Look at it again. I like verse number 1 where it says, David escaped to a cave. Did you ever want to just escape? Maybe not to a cave, unless it's a man cave, but you just want to get away. Isn't there an airline that's kind of like their catchphrase, just want to get away? Sometimes you just want to get away. Who said Florida? Who said that? You just want to get away. Sometimes, you know, we just want to escape, right? From people and from people and from people. Sometimes yourself, you want to try to get away from yourself, you know? And that's what happens here in this text. I know we've been there. David's trying to escape. The name Adullam, look here, he says he escaped to a cave, and the cave had a name. The cave was Adullam, right? That's a Hebrew word. In the Hebrew, that word means refuge. It means refuge. And so in this passage, David is trying to seek refuge from Saul. Saul was king at that time, and if you know the story, the history behind this, the backstory, is that Saul, for some reason, had it in for David, you know? And it wasn't a good reason. You know, David was a kind young man. He was loyal to him. David tried to help him and tried to advance his kingdom, but for some reason, Saul got jealous. You know, that green-eyed monster. How many of you ever, did you ever deal with jealousy? I know you wouldn't be honest with me this morning, but it's not helpful. And it caused Saul to go after David on several occasions. And so now David has escaped. He's escaped to a cave called Adullam, actually looking just for some refuge. And notice what happens. People find out, they found out where he was. And look what happens. In verse number 1, it says that his family, his brethren, in his father's house heard that he had escaped to Adullam. And what happens? They come to where he was. He's trying to get away, and of course they show up. But I find the interesting part in verse 2. Not only did his family come to where he was, but notice who else showed up. Everyone that was in distress, in debt, and discontented. Now think about that group for a second. How many of us would go out of our way to avoid people just like that? I would say just a bunch of independent Baptist church members showed up. They're all in debt. They're all stressed out. discontented. Nothing makes him happy, right? And David, I mean, they show up. David's trying to get away, and here they are, his family members, you know, and then all the folks that are distressed, in debt, and discontented. And we can go a lot of ways with that thought, but I want to mention something this morning. That's what brought those people together. That was the common thread. You know, we would call it this. We would call it commonality. Did you ever hear that word before? Commonality. So the screens aren't working, right? You guys know that. And that's okay. Don't go crazy. As long as they work, I can turn my head and see that you're getting what I want you. Oh, now they're working. Well, you guys are amazing. How about that? I just got to kind of do that. I don't have any money in my pocket. Think, show up. Amen. And so there's some commonality here. Listen to this statement about commonality. Commonality, I think, is this. It's a common cause. It's a common cause that unites people. And through that common cause, they're able to develop a strength, even in a time of conflict. Commonality. So those that are distressed, in debt, and discontented, they come. And if you were to read through this whole story, the message is not on this story, you would find out that this group became a mighty force for good. David worked with these individuals, those that were in debt, in distress, and discontented, and they became a real powerful force for good. Because there was commonality. They united around a common cause. Are you with me? And I think this, I think if you were to read on and go into the New Testament, you would read about commonality in the New Testament church. You go into the book of Acts, and often you read these words, and they had all things common, or they were in one accord. Right? What they did was this. They found out what they could agree upon. They found out what caused them to have, you know, some commonality. What did we have in common? And they focused on that. And when you look at the New Testament church, you know, the common thread that connected the New Testament church, God began to do some great things in that church and then through that church, right? I mean, it's a miracle as to what God did with just some folk who came from all different walks of life. And they found out what they had in common, and God blessed it. God placed his hand upon it. And man, they seen God do some great things. The Bible word that we would use. In fact, I let me go back because I know these guys are waiting on this. When David said he escaped to a cave, the cave of Adullam, looking for refuge, we also read there in the Psalms, and I like this, Psalm 46:1, where it says, God is our refuge. God is our refuge and strength. And I think an encouragement today for us would be, you know, at times when we're feeling a little distressed and maybe discontented or maybe overwhelmed, maybe the circumstances of life just mount up against us, to flee to God for refuge. Because God is our refuge and our strength. And I like that. A very present help in trouble. And sometimes we find ourselves in trouble. God is there for us. But a Bible word for commonality would be the word unity. Unity. You've heard that word before, right? Unity. And let me talk to you just a little bit about the word unity. We might use synonyms like this, oneness. So what does it mean to be in unity or unified? If we were to describe that, what does it imply? We would say oneness or harmony. To be in harmony, you know, with others. To be in agreement, right? Those that are unified are in agreement. The Bible uses the word concord. You read that over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, the word concord. And there it kind of plays off. It kind of says this. So what concord does, and it kind of matches up some things. What agreement? You know, what oneness, what unity? You know, we would use the word togetherness. So in the Bible, now pay attention right here, in the Bible, unity does not mean sameness. It means oneness. Say that with me. In the Bible, unity does not mean sameness. It means oneness. Do this. It doesn't mean sameness. It means oneness. You're all kinds of confused because I see people going like this. So in the Bible, unity is not, it's not sameness. What do I mean by that? Even among God's people who are different, and we're all different, right? We could be unified, right? But there's a vast difference between sameness and oneness. For example, sameness speaks about uniformity. Let me broaden that. It means this. It means being identical in appearance, thinking, or expression. Did you get that? Sameness. Let's just be honest. If unity is sameness, then we are not unified. Right? Why? Well, because we don't all look the same. Right? I mean, how many of us here this morning, we're God's kids? Raise your hand. You're born again. You're a member of God's family. But we don't all look alike. We're not all dressed the same, right? There are some men here this morning that are in a t-shirt, some in a hoodie, some with shirt and tie, some with open collar, some with a jacket. It's not a suit. It's just, are you with me? If you were in Florida this morning, there would be some in shorts and a t-shirt and flip-flops like Donald. There's some ladies here today that are in dresses, other in blouse and shirts, some are in jeans or in whatever, sweatpants, right? So if unity meant, you know, we all have to be the same, then Open Bible Baptist Church is not a unified church. Huh? Sameness. Listen carefully. With sameness, everyone looks the same, everyone thinks the same. That's sameness. Differences are minimized or even suppressed. Right? If you come to OB, you know that's not the case. We don't try to minimize your identity. We don't try to suppress who you are. No, we just say this, be the best you can be. Right? You can't be anybody but you. So be the best you can be, but be the person God made you to be. That's really important. And so the key idea with sameness is conformity. We all desire to conform. Now, let's just be honest. There was a time on earth. I like that song. There was a time on earth when in the book of it. There was a time on earth when some churches like our church, we strive for conformity. Everybody needs to conform to a certain standard. And so we try to cattle everybody into that chute. Come on now, get with the program. And we want everybody to look the same. Same haircut. You know, same skirt length. And we thought for a while that would produce spirituality. But what it produced was anything but. Why? Because outward standards do not produce a heart on fire for God. It doesn't produce a worshipful spirit. You know what it produces? Conformity, not unity. And so there's a difference between sameness and oneness. We would say this, let's make it practical, for sameness. It's a group where no one disagrees. No one brings a different perspective, and individuality is discouraged. That's sameness. Sameness. But the Bible doesn't call us believers to sameness. In fact, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the body has many differing parts, and it's supposed to work together. So some of us are hands. If you're a hand, raise your hand. If you're a foot, go ahead and raise your foot. If you're an ear, give me one of those. And if you're an eye, just blink. you know, many different parts, and we all come together to make up what? The body of Christ. If everybody were an ear and nobody be a tongue, we'd never be able to listen to gossip. Nobody be able to speak it. Right? So the Bible discourages sameness. Sameness would mean the whole body is just one part. And if the body were just one part, we'd be in trouble. Oneness, on the other hand, is unity. Listen to this. It's being unified in heart, purpose, and spirit despite our differences. How many of us know we have differences? How many have been married for a long period of time? Long time. My wife and I have some years under our belt. You know, we just spent 10 days, 12 days together. I mean, nobody around, no kids, no grandkids. And you know what we come to realize? Boy, that's nice. I'm just teasing. We missed him greatly. However, you know what we really realized? That when we're alone, just the two of us for 10 or 12 days or 2 weeks, as much as we are one, there are some things that she likes and there are some things that I like. And there are some things that we just say, okay, because you like it, not because I like it. Right? And even though we've been married for 105 years, we still have a lot of differences. You know? I love watching sports. She likes watching Hallmark. Because she's a faithful wife, she'll watch sports. I can't get it in me to watch Hallmark. You know? Differences. Differences. Listen carefully. Unify, oneness, unity, being unified in heart, purpose, and spirit despite the difference. Different people, one mission. Different gifts, one body. Different personalities, one spirit. The key idea is not conformity. The key idea is connection. Connection. Now I'm going someplace with this. Connection. And so this is visible in a church where people have different backgrounds and different roles. Connection. Take Open Bible, for example. We come from all different backgrounds. I love the idea that we are a mixed multitude. I love that. You look out from my perspective, and it's red and yellow, black and white. You know, we have people from all over the place. You know, we have some folk here from Liberia. Raise your hand, James. Be proud of that. Liberia. We have people back there from Siberia. No, I'm just teasing. But we get it from all over the place. We have a great group of people that are Italians here, and we have some Irish. We're just a mixed multitude, right? Well, we have differences, and some people like pizza and some don't. Some people call it sauce. Most Italians call it gravy. That was for Steve Bongiorno and Uncle Mike back there. Differences. And so, listen carefully. Even though we come from different backgrounds and different roles, we are deeply united in Christ and committed to each other. That's unity. That's what it means to be unified. In fact, Jesus prayed this in John 17, 21. Look at the screen. That they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That's oneness. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So our oneness becomes what? A testimony to the lost. Right? Look here. There's nobody to get saved. Nobody wants to attend a church that is divisive, that is divided, you know, that is just conforming to a bunch of outward rules and regulations. But when people come together from all different walks and desires and lifestyles in Christ, people can sense there's something there. There's something about that place. And that's what God wants his church to be. Unified. A simple way to remember the difference is this. Sameness is this. Be like me. That's sameness. Be like me. Dress like me. Talk like me. Worship like me. Read the same Bible I read. Do the same things. That's sameness. Oneness is belong with me. Don't be like me. Belong with me. Belong where? Belong to the body of Christ. Belong to the idea of unity and being unified. And I can go on and on with that thought. Think about this. Think about a choir. Now, I love to sing. I love music. I don't know a lot about it, but I do know this. Sameness in a choir means that everyone sings the same exact note. Right? They just get up and they all sing the same note. But oneness means they have different parts all blending together into one beautiful sound. So you have a soprano and an alto and a bass and a who's-a-who's-a-who's-a, I don't know what the rest of them are called. And they all come together when our choir sings and make this beautiful sound. Not just one note, right? That's oneness. And so God's not trying to make us identical. No, He's trying to make us unified. 2 weeks ago when I preached on a Sunday morning, I remember sharing this illustration. I remember going over here and talking about, you know, when you get in Christ. And that's just a way of saying when you get saved, right? And I'm not sure when you got. I got saved in 1979. The month was November. I got in Christ. I got saved, you know, and I'm so glad I did. You know, I certainly didn't know then what I know now. But I knew enough then to know I needed Jesus. And so I got in. Right? But here's the thing. Pay attention right now. I got in just like I was. And back in November 1979, I was 19 years old. And I was born and raised in South Philly. And I had Philly in me. Everything about it. You know, back then, you know what was popular back then for young guys my age, 16, 17, 18, 19 years old, getting tattoos. I know it's popular again. Back then, you had to hide it from your parents. You had to sneak it into the house, you know. But because I hung around with the wrong crowd, guess what I did? I got some tattoos. Now, today it's common. If you don't have a tattoo, you know, Don and I were away on vacation. We both got tattoos. We didn't. I know some of you would believe that about me, not about her, but about me you would. But nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, that's just the world we live in today. I don't make issues with that stuff. I'd rather have the first three pews filled on both sides with people with ink and piercings. And I think every shepherd ought to smell like sheep. Right? And so if we keep those people out because they're marked, well, we've missed the whole point. That's who Jesus Christ spent most of His time with. So when I got in with everything that I had. I mean, the manipulating and the foul language and the worldliness. You know, I grew up and it was disco time, right? That's 1976, Tony Manero. Look at you, you're all going, you're getting it, you know. Yeah, Saturday Night Fever, right? And so, you know, that's the way it was. So I got in with all of that. And Jesus said, just come as you are. If I had to get rid of all of that, I'd have never got saved. I didn't have come as you are. And I'm going to make you like I am. And so through the process of time, and I told you this last time, through the process of time, He begins to change us. But here's the misconception. We all think we need to be identical. And so we lose our identity. And can I say this with all due respect? Churches have really messed us up in thinking that. You know, now we've all conformed to this standard. A dress standard, a vocabulary standard. No, Jesus said this. If you come as you are, I'll make you like I am. And that simply means this. You know, He's going to take the old you and make a new you. And you're going to be the best you. Amen. Right? And so I love it when people in Christ just become the very best version of themselves. But here's the problem. We've lost our identity many times. And now we think we need to be like each other. And if we are, we'll be unified. No, that's when trouble begins. We're really not being unified. No, we're unified when we're one in Christ with the same purpose. You know, same desire to please Him and worship Him. That's what unity is all about. And that's what this text of Scripture speaks to us about. So God's not trying to make us identical. In fact, unity in the Bible is not about losing your identity. It's about joining your life with others in Christ. Right? Look here, you may not believe this, but I promise you it's true. You know I love Florida. I love everything about Florida. I love the heat. I love the bugs. I like sand. Yeah, I like it all. I don't like the fact that traffic lights are 15, 20 minutes long when you're sitting there. But I do like it when you're speeding down the highway and it's green, you know you're going to make it. Yeah. Got to take the good with the bad. But I couldn't wait to get back to see you. I mean that with all my heart. I'm not just saying that so you like me. I don't really care if you like me. You're commanded to love me. But I couldn't wait to get back to see you. I missed church. Donna and I went to church last week. Had a great time fellowship. It's a church we like to attend. It was wonderful. We worshiped the Lord. I got fed. But honestly, I couldn't wait. Now, I'd like to go back to Florida tomorrow. Come back next Sunday if you'll let me. That we'd be happy as could be. But I couldn't wait to get back. You know why? Because I'm a member of this body. And I function best when I'm in the body. Are you with me? And that's what unity is all about. It's functioning as a member of his body. And the Bible gives us beautiful pictures of unity. There's one in Psalm 133. Would you turn there with me? Look at this psalm, if you would. Psalm 133. Look at verse number 1. Psalm 133, verse 1. It says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And then he says, let me share with you what it's like. He said it's like, notice, the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard went down to the skirts of his garments. He said it's like the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. Talks about unity there. And what I find in that passage of Scripture, and by the way, if you grab one of those family time guides, I gave you the outline this morning, so it's there, and the Scripture's there, and everything I'm about to say is on that card for you to do further study for yourself or with your family this evening or this week. But I want you to notice a couple of things here about this passage. In verse number 1, for me, I find the need for unity. The need for unity. He said, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." I think you'd agree that it's good and it's pleasant when people who should be for each other are for each other. Say amen right there. I think it's good when people who should be for each other are for each other. When people who should be on the same page are on the same page. Don't you think that's good? And it's certainly pleasant. But I want you to notice this. The psalmist is not just speaking about people. He's speaking about the brethren. Look at it again. How good, how pleasant it is for who? Brethren. You know the reference there is to who? Family of God. The family of God. Those that are members of the church. For us, would be the members of the church, members of the body of Christ. And so he's speaking about other members of God's family. And the Bible says God has placed his approval, his stamp of approval upon unity, harmony, oneness in this text of Scripture. The need. And you certainly notice that when you look at the early church, because that's the springboard for the church. You go to the book of Acts. And what you find in the book of Acts, that this church was together. Acts 2, verse 44 says, "And all that believed were together and had all things common." Now, let's just be fair. They didn't have all things, not everything in common, but they agreed and had commonality amongst the main things. It's important for the brethren to agree and be in harmony and be at one when speaking about the main things. For example, say, "Pastor, what's the main things?" The Word of God. We believe the Bible is God's Word. That's a main thing, right? Our belief here isn't that the Bible contains God's Word. No, the Bible, pay attention, is God's Word. Right? You agree with that? That's a main thing. We believe that salvation is by faith through grace. It's not of works. No, because then we'd be boasting about No, it's by the precious blood of Jesus Christ and how He on the cross at Calvary paid for my sin, your sin, our sin, the sin of the world, past, present, and future. That's a main thing, and we agree on that, right? We believe the church is vital, and it's important because the Bible says in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 20 that God gave His only begotten Son, Jesus gave His blood. He purchased the church with His blood. The church is important. And I can go on and on. And so we agree on the main things. We have commonality. And you know what that does? Pay attention right here. That kind of forces us. It binds us together. Just like David's men, you know, the fellows that were in distress and in debt and discontented, they came together, common cause, and men, they turned their world upside down. Guess what the church did? The church did the same thing because they had commonality. And that doesn't mean we're going to agree on everything. Let's just be honest, right? How many of us in this room disagrees with somebody else in this room? Go ahead and raise your hand. Be confident about it. Yeah, I do. I disagree with myself sometimes. However, we must follow the counsel of Hebrews 13:1. You know what it says there? Let brotherly love continue. Meaning this, we can disagree and still be okie dokie. I can love you. Look here, I may not like the songs you sing, but I can love you as a brother or sister. You know, I may not like some of the activities you partake, but I can love you as a brother or sister. We've lost that, not here at OB, but in the church, because we feel as if we all have to conform. And if we don't look the same and sing the same and go the same, man, we can't be with you. Man, we've messed up. And when we get to heaven, I think we're going to pay a high price for that. I really believe this. When we get to heaven, I've said this 100 times, Donald, God's going to gather us pastors together in a big old conference room and ask us one question. He's going to say something like this. What in the world? Where did you get the idea to have church the way you had church? Huh? Why did you get such... Who created that box for you? Certainly the Bible didn't. Because when you read about the church in the New Testament, they weren't Sunday morning only shirt, tie, 3 hymns and a poem and go home. No, man, they met whenever it was necessary and they were community oriented. They were out and about. It wasn't a popularity contest what do you call it when you get all dressed up and parade yourself around? A fashion show? Come on, you're supposed to know what I'm thinking. You know, not about what are they going to say about this suit this week or this tie or this dress. No, good grief, that's not what church is about. Not at all. Let brotherly love continue. And then notice, I love verse 2. In verse 2, we see the source of unity here. He said it's like. And so now the psalmist is going to paint a word picture for us. Somebody like word pictures? I love the parables because Jesus gives us word pictures. And so the psalmist says unity is like this. And he gives us two word pictures. The first, he talks about the oil that ran down Aaron's beard. So oil is a symbol in the Bible, pay attention, of anointing. They would anoint people with oil for positional, you know, purposes, leadership positions. And also in the Bible, I'm sure you're aware of this, that oil was symbolic of the Holy Spirit. That's why every once in a while we say, you better check your oil. You better make sure you got the Holy Spirit. Right? And so when you look at that, it says this, I love this, the oil ran down Aaron's beard, right? And so talking about the Holy Spirit, where there's unity, you know the Holy Spirit is present. Because the Holy Spirit is a unifier. He's a unifier. Did you ever go to a church and man, you walk in the back door, you can almost cut the tension? You know that the right side is against the left side and the left side's against the right side and everybody's against the pulpit. You ever been to church like that? We've been in churches like that on vacation. And I said, boy, there's problems here. There's problems here. That pastor had no liberty. I mean, the Spirit of God just wasn't there. It was almost like come in the back door and check your spirit at the door. Don't you walk into the auditorium with the Holy Spirit. Because we got something to prove in there. We got some fighting to do in there. That's terrible. But where there's unity, you know the Spirit of God is present because He is a unifier. fact, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, listen to this verse. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now notice, the oil runs down the beard onto the clothing. Did you see that? In other words, unity is refreshing, and the spillage flows downward. I preached a message some time ago here at OB about overflow, and I said, every once in a while, you just need to get around some people that have the joy of the Lord and let them spill on you. You know, let the spillage of their life affect you. Well, that's what happens with the New Testament church that's unified. It's like the oil that ran down Aaron's beard all over his clothing. Man, you get to a church like this and you walk out. Donna, you and I went to a church last week. You know, I know. Fact is, they had the joy of the Lord. And when I walked out, I felt I was dripping. I was just dripping in the overflow of that worship service. You know, those people were happy. They were having a great time. You know, Pat, the preacher, brought a great message. It was wonderful. You go to a church like that, that's unified, the overflow. I mean, you can't help but getting dripped on. Isn't that why you come to church? Sometimes you come and you're so stinking dry. You ought to pray this, Lord, drip on me today. Help me to sit. And by the way, when you come in, look for somebody that's happy and sit next to them and let their joy just overflow on you. But then he mentions this. He mentions not only Aaron's beard, verse 3, he mentions the dew of Hermon. Now, you know Hermon was a mountain, right? Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is the tallest mountain in Israel, all of Israel, 9,000 feet. That's up there. And it talks about this. It talks about the dew. In other words, it was so high that often Mount Hermon was snow-capped, right? And then it mentions this, look at it, verse 3, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. You know where Zion's at? Zion's in the south, near Jerusalem. And down in Jerusalem, it's really dry, and it's not as fertile. And so the idea is this, the snow-capped mountains of Hermon, you know, the spillage goes all the way down to the drier climate of Mount Zion. Overflow. Do you see that? That's the picture that the psalmist is trying to paint in our mind here. As a result, look here, the mountains there in Hermon, always snow-capped, being a blessing to the drier areas down in Jerusalem. Oh my, the implication is simply this, that's what unity is all about. You know, it's just enjoyable. Whether you're from the north or south or rich or poor, unity in Christ crosses all boundaries. I like what Galatians said. Galatians 3, verse 28 says, there's neither Jew nor Greek. Listen, there's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. How about that? Unity. It's a gift from above. Look at verse 3 again. I want you to see one final thing and I'm finished. The blessing of unity. It says, there the Lord commanded the blessing. There the Lord, where? In the realm of unity, God commands his blessing. Or in other words, God places his favor upon those that are unified. And that's a church. That's a family. I hate to say this. It's a nation. Have you ever seen America so divided as we see America today? You know what that tells me? Jesus is coming soon. If you know your Bible, here's what you know. America, in the end, is not a powerful force for good. She's not even mentioned. She's not even mentioned. And I know God's used her and is using her, but there's coming a day he won't need her. Huh? And when you look at all that's going on, right? I never pray for peace in the Middle East. It's not possible. I pray for the lack of conflict. Lord, help the conflict to cease. But I don't pray for peace. It's a futile prayer. Why? Because only the Prince of Peace, Jesus, can create that peace. And that conflict's been going on since the book of Genesis. Right? Huh? And we're right in the middle of it, America. We are right in the middle of it. And I'm so glad we're friendly toward the nation of Israel. We should be. The Bible says we should be. But I think we need to know our place, especially as a church, especially as God's people. Don't you agree? And so blessing. A common cause brings David's men together, and as a result, they become a mighty force. It was that common cause that brought the early church together. They became a mighty force, turned their world upside down. And that same can be happening in our church. And by the way, it is. It is. If you look at some of the common things we do as a church, it's wonderful. It's just wonderful. Last week, we gathered together for National Hoops. People who didn't even know basketball showed up just to help, right? Just to help. And man, we had how many? 25 teams, most from the neighborhood, from the community, come out to our National Hoops. And right in the midst of it, all these people, right in the midst of it, a brother gets up and preaches the gospel. And 12 people got saved. Isn't that wonderful? Just a few weeks prior to that, we had a thing called Outdoorsman Night, where we invite the community onto our property, into our gym, and we just celebrate the outdoors, hunting and fishing and all-you-can-eat food. And we had, I don't know how many showed up. How many got saved? 29? 29 people got saved. And look here. There were people there who never hunted a deer, never even swatted a fly, never held a fishing rod, never got the aroma of a largemouth bass on their hand. Ed, my cousin. Had no idea what it's like to slice open a fresh trout, Craig. But they came, and they served chili, and they were happy, had no clue as to what was going on the platform talking about killing deer. But they enjoyed it. Came together. What was the common cause? Let's present Jesus to our community. And we gathered together as a church. And we see people saved by the multitudes in just doing that very thing. You know what we're going to do here in just a moment? We're going to invite you to slice and share. You say what? Say what? Say what? Slice and share. Come have a slice with us, a slice of pizza. You don't have to share the slice. But then after we eat a slice, we're going to go out and share. We're going to bring a invitation card to our community and invite them to join us at Open Bible where they can hear the message. Slice and share. Get it? That's a common call. Look, that's something we have. We love pizza. Who doesn't love pizza? Don't you dare raise your hand. And you know we're supposed to share the gospel. These are the things that bring us together. And so how can we cultivate unity? Here's a quick list. Look at it real quick. Keep yourself in check. By the way, this is on the card going home. So keep yourself in check, your heart, check your tongue, check your motives. Keep yourself in check. Here's a second thought. Practice consideration. Consider others. I love Hebrews 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke into love and to good works. If you're going to provoke somebody, provoke them to love others. Provoke them to do works unto the Lord. Practice consideration. And finally, hold yourself accountable. Hold yourself accountable. I think you ought to note when you're being divisive. You know when you are. I think you ought to avoid being a talebearer. Did you ever get to a place where you got information and you're just busting to share it with somebody? Just ask yourself, so am I supposed to share this? And in sharing this, is it going to help the situation? Am I going to feel guilty after I share that? Work at being a unifier. That's what we need in our churches today. You know, if you look at a family, take a family with some, for example, the Austin family sitting right here, they have a number of children, 5 children. It's a wonderful family. God's gifted OB with this family. But you know this, those kids are all different. They really are. I get to know them. They're all different. They have different likes and dislikes, different personalities and different strengths and different interests. All our kids are that way, right? However, they carry the same last name. And that's what connects them. They, at the end of the day, are Austins. And Brother Tyler told the girls, even if you get married, you keep that same last name. There's value in that name. Think about this. Think about a church. You bring hundreds of people together in the name of Christ. They're all different. Different backgrounds, different likes and dislikes. What is it that draws us together? It's that name, Child of God. We're God's kids. We're members of that family. Right? Sameness? I wouldn't want to be same. No. Somebody you love with all your heart says, hey, you need to go eat there. It's the best place to ever eat. You go to eat there and you say, good grief, it's the worst food I've ever had. Huh? Right? So then you break fellowship with the brother. I said, I'm never going to talk to that guy again because he told me to go. No, I don't have to like what somebody else likes. But together in Christ, that's all that matters. Right? And that's what I want OB to be. Just together in Christ, unified. Commonality. We got a lot of things in common. Let's concentrate on what we have in common, not the differences. Amen? Let's pray, may we? Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the truth of it and the power of it. Thank you for the practicality of it. Thank you that we get a chance to study it, open it up, read it, understand it. And then we pray with your help. We pray for help to live it, that we might do our best this week to live in oneness with you and one another. And may that bind us together and cause us to have a strength, even in time of conflict, as a mighty, mighty force that you can use. Pray you use our church to advance the gospel here in Williamstown, Monroe Township, Gloucester County, Camden County, New Jersey, all throughout the United States and world for that matter, as we just come together for a common cause, common purpose, the name of Jesus. We pray for those who are here this morning who know Christ as Savior, that they might work at being one. We pray for those who are here this morning who may not have yet trusted Christ as Savior, that they might consider today as being a day they'll get in. Just like I did back in November 1979, may they consider today the day where they get in, just like they are. Glad you take us just like we are. Lord, help us to get in. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. Let's stand together.
I hope the message was a blessing to you today. Again, thank you for joining us online. I'd like to invite you, if you're able, to join us in person. You can go to our website for further information. The address of our website is openbiblenj.org. And there you'll find information about our church. You can listen to other messages that have been preached and just get a feel for Open Bible. You know, here at our church, we want to lift up Jesus. We want to make much of Jesus. And our prayer is this. Our prayer that is that the message of the gospel becomes a personal reality in people's lives, in your life. And so we're here to assist. We're available during the week. And if you just reach out to us, we're more than willing to talk with you, maybe pray for you, pray with you, however we can be a blessing to you. We're here to serve the community. And so, again, thank you for joining us. And I pray that you'll come back and join us again. God bless you.